And now, a sports update with James Willis.
Yeah, we'll get on to the weekend's matches in both the NRL and the AFL in a moment. James is with us. Good evening to you.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
So, Cricket Australia says let's get together in a room at the weekend and see if we can sort this all out. And if we can't, then we're going to go off to arbitration. Really?
Yeah, well, that's what James Sutherland is saying now, Steve. This has descended into a complete farce when you consider that the players and Cricket Australia have been attempting to negotiate for months. This should have been sorted out well before the players became unemployed at the start of the month. And as we speak, there are players, now our star players can rely on sponsorship and other deals, but our Shield players and the women remain unemployed. There's no payments coming in, and Cricket Australia at this stage say there'll be no back payment when the deal's finally sorted out. At the end of the day, the reason this has gone on for so long is that both sides are fundamentally split. Cricket Australia want a pool of money for the next 5 years that would be set in stone and allocated, possibly changed, but mostly would just be one pool of funding. The players want a percentage of the overall revenue, which is what they've had for the last 20 years, and they want that to continue. Because at the end of the day, the Big Bash and the Test Cricket TV rights are about to finish after the next summer. And so it's really up in the air how much Cricket Australia is going to be earning. So that's why the players want the same deal. But at this stage, as I say, they're on other sides and they just can't come to a conclusion.
I don't pretend to understand who the independent umpire would be. I mean, James Sutherland said today, I hope we resolve it in the next few days. But if not, we'll go to an independent industrial umpire. So is he going to go to an industrial court to try and sort it out? And Would the players have to abide by that industrial court decision? I mean, it's not as if the players are on strike. The players' contracts have ended. I mean, there's no dispute as in like a striking workforce and a boss wanting them to go back to work. It's not as if the players are refusing to play. The game itself can't work out what to pay them.
Yeah, I'm not really fully understood of the legal side of it, Steve, but I guess if you say that the players are employees of Cricket Australia and Cricket Australia is saying this is the deal we want you to agree with for us to pay you again, and the players are saying, well, that's not the case, we want the deal we've had for the last 20 years, James Sutherland saying it may go to arbitration next week. I mean, if it goes to that, it's going to get very messy. And the deadline here, Steve, is in a couple of weeks, our test team is due to tour Bangladesh. It's not the biggest tour in the world, but it would be devastating for fans everywhere and a shocking look for Australia to pull out of a tour. I mean, it's amateur hour just because we can't come to a payment deal. And even if Cricket Australia comes back and says, OK, we'll give you a short-term deal just to get you through Bangladesh, my understanding is the players won't agree to that. They want their new MOU in place, a memorandum of understanding. And if it's not in place, they won't risk the security concerns of going to a place like Bangladesh and playing a side, which in the grand scheme of things isn't the biggest deal.
So when you sniff this announcement this afternoon, do you get any sense that he thinks he can get this done over the weekend and that the industrial independent umpire is just the big stick sitting there in the corner that, you know, going, come on, let's get this done?
I think it was an attempt to strong arm and maybe scare the Players Association a bit. The issue is, though, and James Sutherland, unless it's sorted out soon, I'm not convinced James Sutherland is the right man for the job as Cricket Australia's CEO. He's been there for the best part of 15 years. He's only just recently come to the table in these negotiations. The thing here, Steve, is, I mean, we keep saying these meetings are ongoing, but most of these meetings have been via phone or via Skype, and there hasn't been a lot of sit-down, face-to-face action. I think it's going to be one of those things. Both parties are going to have to sit down, slug it out for a couple of really long days and try and meet halfway. But based on this afternoon, there's a chance that the Bangladesh tour may be off.
How good a Wallaby skipper was Stephen Moore?
Fantastic. Class act, immensely credentialed off the field. He's got 3 or 4 degrees, I'm pretty sure, Steve, and they love playing under him. He played 120 tests, 34 years of age, an outstanding hooker, but as a leader, just a man that really helped along with Michael Checker to restore pride back into the jersey. He's retiring at season's end. This will be his last year. It's the right call. His form isn't as good as what it once was, but he captained Australia at the World Cup 2 years ago when we made it right through to the final, an outstanding ambassador for rugby. And that 120 tests is the second most ever
by a Wallabies player behind George Gregan's 139. He'll be sorely missed, but the right call from your retire at season's end.
The NRL round kicked off tonight. Let's go forward to the games across the weekend, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday. If you had to pick, I mean, you're really going to ladder position now for games that have got a bit of tension in them. Probably Saturday's Roosters-Cowboys at Allianz and the Storm Sea Eagles at Amy would be the pick of the two games, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and extraordinary stuff here. As long as Cameron Smith can be cleared to play, and I think you'll find he will, he'll run out for his 350th first-grade game. He's drawing in on the all-time NRL record, which is Darren Lockyer's of 355. He'll break it by season's end. But what an extraordinary performance for Cameron Smith. He's got a slight tear in his pectoral muscle that he suffered last weekend, but he's not expected to miss a game. And that should be an interesting contest because Manly are going to be a top-eight side this year, and they come up against the all-powerful Melbourne Storm, who will win the minor premiership, and I think Steve are going to be far too good. As long as Smith, Slater and Cronk are playing at their best, and Billy Slater won't play this weekend because of that concussion, but if they keep those three blokes on the field, I think Melbourne's going to win the premiership this year.
It'll be cold and wet at Amy on the weekend as well. Let's turn our attention to the AFL now. Tomorrow night, Hawthorn take on the Sydney Swans at the MCG. I know I keep saying there's danger games for the Swans. They just keep winning. They were 0-6. I think they've won the last six in a row, maybe seven in a row. This is the big danger game because other than the Swans, bizarrely, Hawthorn, who sits 12th, are the form team in the competition apart from the Swans.
It's amazing. They sort of had a mid-season slump, Hawthorn, and they started badly and people were saying, oh, there's some rebuilding going on. They've managed to rebuild their team and get back on track within a season, Hawthorn. And yeah, as you say, they're one of the form teams of the competition. Sydney's won 10 of their last 11. So they lost their first six and then won 10 of their last 11.
Wow.
The only loss coming to Hawthorn at the SCG. They always play fantastic games, these two sides. They've been fierce rivals for the last 10 years. Other thing here, which is fantastic, Josh Kennedy, the Sydney captain, plays his 200th game. Good luck to him. I think Sydney's going to win, but it's going to be a beauty tomorrow night, and that'll cement their place inside the top eight. And then you look at the GWS Giants. Look, I think they'll win. They take on Fremantle at Spotless Stadium on Saturday afternoon, but they've won one of their last six. And as you know, Steve, because you've been keeping a bit of an eye on where Richmond is, the top eight is so close in the AFL. You've got Adelaide on 52, Geelong 46, GWS and Richmond on 44 each, and then it's Port Adelaide, Sydney and Melbourne on 40, one win behind. Eighth place Essendon on 36, but then also on 36, West Coast, the Western Bulldogs and St Kilda. So if you lose two games in a row, if GWS were to lose their next two, they might find themselves outside the top eight, which a couple of weeks ago, well let's say 2 months ago, would have just been a startling thought.
Giants will win easy against Fremantle on Saturday. That'll get them back on track, but they're no good things now. I think they've got the wobbles up, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be a fantastic final series. Have a great weekend, James Willis. Thank you very much for your help as usual. Talk to you next week.
Enjoy the slopes. Thanks, Steve. Cheers.